The Brekkie Show with Wolfie and Nadia
on ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Back in December 2011, the most horrible of tragedies unfolded in Port Denison, 360 kilometres north of Perth. Two young girls, 12-year-old Jane Cousins and her 10-year-old sister Jessica, were killed at the hands of their mother, Heather Glendenning, who then took her own life. Now, this was a crime that rocked the close-knit seaside community, and it left many people asking why and how something like this could happen.
This crime followed a long and difficult battle in the family court between Heather and her ex-husband, Harley Cousins. Harley says he had repeatedly warned the court that his former wife was mentally unwell and a danger to their daughters. Harley has not spoken publicly about this for 8 years, but now with talk of reforming the family court, he's decided to speak out. And Harley joins us from our Broome studio. Good morning to you.
Morning, Matt. Morning, Nadia.
Why have you decided to talk to us today, Harley?
Oh, it's just probably the timing's right. I've stayed very quiet about everything for a long time, and I've never done an interview. I spoke to the Australian newspaper over the weekend, and then you guys this morning. And the timing is probably right for me. I can speak about it now, and it's probably right that someone who's been in the system with the worst possible outcome speaks about the system.
Can you give us an understanding of what you were trying to tell the family court?
Well, I was perfectly straight from start to finish. She had mental issues caused by what I thought was marijuana. You know, schizophrenia, everything that goes with it, bipolar, you name it. That, you know, and I'm not qualified to say that. You just hear it, you know, I listen to the radio and you hear things and you think, that's my partner, you know. You know, it got worse and worse. Like, so in the end, we broke up, and, you know, that was my issue with the family court from start to finish. They weren't arguing with a rational person. She presented very well. She spoke very well. She did everything well, except she was so delusional. You know, in the end, she'd start believing it, all the stuff she started speaking. But that was my thing with the court. I didn't move off my same track from start to finish. You know, except no one really listened to me. I was just a, you know, bloke in the family court who, you know, I suppose everyone says their ex-partner's mad.
Were you telling the family court that you believed your children were in danger?
I definitely told them that. I said they are not, you know, they're definitely, you know, not. You have to be careful in the family court, you know, which I learnt from numerous lawyers, is not to actually front on it, you know, have an attack at the other person, you know. But I was made my point very clear that I thought she was unstable to have the children. From day one, I thought the children should have been with me and she should have had limited supervised access. But from the day they left home, the first thing, you know, they do is they put a, you know, they take everything they can. You're not home, so the house gets emptied. Then they put a restraining order on you so you can't get anything back. So you've got none of your, you know, you've got no paperwork, no checkbooks, no, everything's gone. Movers have come in and moved everything out. Then they whack a restraining order on you so you can't get it back. So you're very much back-footed from the start. So then, you know, the first thing that happens is that night the police will come and knock on your door and serve you with a restraining order. And you think, well, that's fine, you know, I really don't want to see it tonight anyway. And you think, oh, well, I'll sort this out. You rock up to the local court a week later or this, that and the other, you know, I can't remember the exact time, and you get hit with an, you know, you go and find yourself a lawyer and you think, oh, well, you know, the dust has settled now, she's gone to a parent's place, the kids are fine, yada, yada, yada. you know, in due course, it'll sort out quite quickly. Well, how wrong was I? You know, you get hit with an absolute barrage of this, that and the other. Your lawyer looks at you like you're the worst person on earth. And that's where it all starts. You're back-footed right from the start. But that's the case that got me. A couple of weeks after that, you're off to the family court, so you've got two courts going. And the other person's been funded by legal aid and you're funding yourself. And you think, I'm fighting two court battles now.
It seems the system really let you down. Is that how you feel about it?
The system really let me down. You know, it absolutely let me down. And there was glimmers of hope. Like, I actually got custody of the children and the children resided with me for about 12 months or so. But then they go and get another court-appointed expert witness. And, you know, he made a ruling that, you know, I worked too hard, I was this, that and the other. I said, well, you have to go to work. Just because you've got kids, you still have to go to work. That's a fact of life. And, you know, but everything gets done, everything gets sorted. The kids go to school, they have lunch, dinner, tea, they do their homework, they do this, that and the other. Like, you know, but I was a working single parent. And anyway, in the court in their wisdom, they, you know, and I obviously fought quite vigorously against it, took the children off me and put them back in their mother's custody.
And when you were warning of dangers and saying, I do fear for the life of my children, what sort of response would you get?
Oh, grain of salt, like absolutely. You know, you got it backfired on you. Like, not just dismissed, it backfired. They'd think, you know, you were the villain for even suggesting such things. Like it went against you, not at all for you.
After the murders of your two daughters, did anyone come to you and admit then that they'd failed in their duties?
Yes. The independent children's lawyer, she was devastated by it. And she was absolutely devastated. You know, she apologised to me greatly. She said, we just got it wrong. We got you wrong from start to finish. But the whole way down the line, a lot of these people, they actually wanted to believe me. You could see it in them. But they just wouldn't stick their neck out and say, hey, we think this guy might be right.
And why do you think they didn't do that?
Because the system is so, you know, I don't know how many, you know, and it might have changed a little bit now, but I doubt it, you know, from what you hear. How many men actually get custody of their children in family court? Not a lot. Why not? Are they not good, you know, are they not as good a parent as the mother? As, you know, we're in a pretty liberal age, you know, if you can do it, I can do it too. Well, the system's stacked against the man. You can't win. Like, and when you do win, then they sort of, you know, they stack it against you again and you know, change the goalposts, get another, you know, independent children's psychologist that's going to take their point of view, be swayed in their direction. It's a no-win situation. And you've got to remember, in this family law court system, there's no accountability. You can't say, I'm going to appeal that and go to the next court down the road. They're a one-stop shop.
Harley, are you taking legal action now, or are you looking for compensation? What is driving you right now?
Well, nothing's really driving me. I just decided it was time to speak out. You know, I'd like to speak to the Attorney General. You know, I think he's the man that deals with things like this, and just see what is, you know. Look, man, it's destroyed my life. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, I held down quite a big job for a lot of years, and, you know, I couldn't cope with that. I've, you know, started getting bouts of depression and, you know, and you work your way through it, but you don't cop the same pressure that you, you know, after these things that you once upon a time put up with. Like, you know, so all of a sudden I didn't work for 2 years. You know, I struggled on at work for a year or so after the event. And then I didn't go to work for 2 years. I did odd jobs and this, that and the other and kept myself busy, but I couldn't cope. You know, I was fighting with depression, I was fighting with all these things, and I just needed to get myself right. you know, and then you go back to work and, you know, obviously I work and I do a lot of things, but I don't cop pressure like I used to. I can't hold down the jobs I used to hold down. You know, I had three courts going, Family Law Court, Magistrates Court and Supreme Court. So I sold all my assets, you know, to fund court battles, which, you know, and you'd do that for your kids every time. You know, you do everything. You know, you give everything for your kids. But, you know, that's what it cost me, and I haven't got my kids. Someone's got to be accountable. It's their court.
And that's the question we're asking today, Harley. Our heart aches for you and what you've been through. This is a very difficult story to share and something that you have not spoken publicly about for 8 years, and we do appreciate you talking to us on ABC Radio. We thank you so much for talking to us today.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time, Nadia.